and you still stay.
Oh, my, yeah.
God sees your needs.
Yeah.
Just keep standing.
Keep standing.
Late in the midnight hour.
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna turn it all around.
Yes, he will.
If you just keep standing.
If you hold on.
Oh, you can come through.
Listening to the very best of community radio and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
God, our Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, we come before your presence this morning, thanking you for the privilege once again to be in the land of the living with Jesus living in the side of us. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you, Lord God, that your word today will be magnified in our hearts and in our lives, that the spirit of truth may dwell and may clear your word. And Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for what you shall do in us and this word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you on this Palm Sunday. I want you to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. Matthew, chapter 21. And I want to begin reading at verse 1. Recorded are these words. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord had need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, there are so many different areas, so many ramifications of this particular passage of scripture read in your hearing that we can move from, and I've been twisting and turning with where I would begin, because wherever I begin, all of it is so rich and so laden with principles and points. So we'll just let the text speak for itself this morning. This is traditionally titled the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it's interesting because it's titled the triumphal entry because it is the prophecy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, sent to this world to be the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ prophesied long ago by many of the prophets to come. And he comes in just as God had so written in his word, prophesied by the mouths of the prophets, and he has made this entry wherein the people recognized him as the Son of David and the Son of Promise who would deliver Israel from their sins. Now, there were some things also that they were somewhat hoping that this king, this conquering king, this king who humbled himself to come into the earth realm in a way no man has ever come before. They thought that he would do when he arrived in this particular setting. But Jesus's purpose for coming, Jesus's purpose for dealing that God had given him to do, was altogether different from the mindset and the desires of man who looked for a king, but that was simply to conquer their enemy in the flesh. They did not realize that this king was going to conquer their enemy, but it would not be in the flesh first, it would be in the spirit realm. This triumphal entry announced not only to the people of Jerusalem, but it also announced to the enemy in hell that the Son of God was a week away from doing what only he could do. It's interesting how folk tied in their own desires with this great coming and this great celebration of the man of God coming into Jerusalem. And let's back up in the first verse and see what the word says. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. This place, the Mount of Olives, was a place very near and dear to the heart of Jesus, where he many times resided in private prayer, in in-depth prayer. This was a time and a place where he many times separated himself from those of his disciples so that he could commune with God in an intimate sense. He's preparing for this entry because in this entry, he recognized that when he enters into Jerusalem this first time, that will start the rolling, if you will, of circumstances and situations that will ultimately lead him to Calvary. So Jesus is making ready, but he has to make ready according to that's been prophesied. Because there are some historians, and there are some scribes, and there are some Pharisees who do know how the King of Kings is supposed to arrive. And the interesting thing about Jesus is everything he did was aligned with Scripture so that those who were putting him under scrutiny and under close observation would know that he did nothing that was outside of that was prophesied to recognize him as the Savior of the world. So verse 2 says, saying unto these two men that he sent, go into the village over against you, opposite of you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord had need of them, and straightway he will send them. Now, if I don't get any further than these two verses here, These verses are loaded because what God shows us in Scripture concerning animals, how much more is this a reality concerning people? I want you to see some interesting things if you look at it, and as we walk through it again, maybe the Spirit will begin to reveal it before I begin to share it. Verse 2 says, "Saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord had need of them, and straightway he will send them." Now, the first thing he's telling them is, and he has already made preparation with those who are, again, accustomed to this great feast, the Feast of the Passovers and so forth. Jesus has already shared with the group that he is sending these men to. He has already shared in the home. Now, this seems to be odd, and it seems to be obscure in that he's talking about just going into the city and you're going to find an ass and a colt tied together. But you've got to know that when Jesus sent them to the village, he sent them to a specific place. Now, this was not unfamiliar to the men because they had also traveled with Jesus before. But here is the point that I want you to look at and want you to focus on. He tells them to go, and he tells them that where they're going to have already prepositioned, not just for a moment in time, but this since the beginning of time had been properly planned and positioned there so that Jesus, when he had need of the foal and the ass, would be available for him for service. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the first thing that I want you to know about prophecy here is that God so arranged things that dispensationally, that everything in its proper place, in its proper time, would happen the way God has so organized this thing without fail. You need to know when God has so arranged the thing and prearranged the thing that no matter who you are, what you are, or where you are, it's going to unfold just like he said. Now here is what he's making clear here, and here's some of the mindsets of theologians who read this verse and have interpreted this verse. First of all, Jesus has already made preparation. There are those who perhaps suggest that those who would accommodate him for this time would say to Jesus, "Listen, whatever you need, my door's open to you. Just whatever you have need of, feel free. You can come and get it. Doesn't matter whether I'm here or not." Have you ever been to somebody's house and they welcomed you in and said, "Listen, whatever you need, whatever, my house is your house." I mean, the openness, the freedom there, the liberty there. God always, what I want you to understand is God always has somebody in place who's going to help him bring to pass what he has to do. This man or this family had opened their hearts and arms and resources to Jesus Christ. Now Jesus is telling the men, "I, in essence, already have been given liberty and privilege to use whatever it is I want." So he sends them, Bible says, over to the little village, and he says, "You're going to find an ass and a colt with her." Now the first thing he says is, "Loose them." Because can I tell you, you can be in place, but the only reason why you're in place is so that when God has need for you, that he can loose you to do what he wants you to do. Now, it's interesting because he takes this illustration about a dumb animal. A dumb animal. But the animal represents, again, God's sovereign power to use whosoever and whatsoever he chooses, whensoever. Yeah. Now listen at this again. He says, when you find this, now that meant in that village there was not going to be an ass and a foal tied together nowhere else in that place. Because can I tell you, when God's got something for you to do, he's not going to allow anybody else to be in place to do what you're supposed to do. Yeah. I want you to hear me this morning, because you have a purpose for being in the body of Christ. You have a purpose for being called into existence. Now, here's what you need to understand. When your time comes, I don't care if you've been in that place and haven't been able to move from that place. When your time comes, God's got an automatic release system that's going to dispensationally let you go when your time comes. Do you know why you haven't been able to do what you wanted to do? Because your time ain't come yet. I know that just sounds a little strange, but a whole lot of us got so much on the inside of us and we want to do it, but you've got to be in place so that when your time comes, God can release you to do what you need to do for the kingdom's sake. Listen at this now. The ass and the colt tied together in their place, and they were staying there until the men that Jesus sent to loose them would come and administer that release. Look at what the word says. He says, now when you loose them, there is something else you've got to do. And look what the rest of the word says. And bring them to me. You see, a whole lot of us, when we are loosed, we've got to realize we're not loose to our own wills. When God opens up the door and says it's your time, it is always to fulfill the will of God. It is always to be in place so that God can have use of what he has vested in you for service in the kingdom of God. He tells them, loose them and bring them to me. Now listen. Their purpose was not so much that they could be loosed and be set free so they can go and do whatever they wanted to do. They had a purpose prophesied by God, fulfilled in the dispensational time that God has set in place so that they may be the servants to help facilitate the will of God in this triumphal entry. I want you to see something else. Verse 3 says, and if any man say aught to you, if any man asks you anything. If any man says, what are you doing? If any man questions why you are going, because I think I need to let you know that there are sometimes, and listen, this was not so much for the owner of the house or those that were tied with him or connected with them, but even if it had by chance had been questioned by the owner, all he had to do was follow what Jesus gives as instructions. But how many times have you had neighbors who watch your house? And the neighbors want to find out what you're doing because the owners of the house might not be there. Now, way back in the day when Fred Sanford used to be on, that was this particular episode when somebody was over in the back of Julio's yard. And Fred walked out there and said, who is that in Julio's yard? And the man said, you don't know, and you don't want to know. And Fred said, all right, and he turned around and walked on back in his house. Well, it might have been the same case. Some neighbor might have wanted to know, what are you doing? Why are you taking my neighbor's colt and ass? Why are you doing this? Well, you might want to understand that here again, Jesus is using his divine authority, and he's also using, because he does all things decently and in order, he's giving a reason for why his disciples are releasing the colt and ass and the foal, because he wants them to understand that he has need of them. Now, when you look at the verse and it says, and if any man say aught to you, ye shall say. Now, listen at this. Now, he's giving them explicit instructions for what they should say. The Lord hath need of them. Now, listen, can I ask you a question? If the Lord has need of a colt and an ass, can I not suggest to you that the Lord hath need of you today? Listen at this now. He says, the Lord had need of them, and straightway he will send them. Now, even if the owner had found out that Jesus sent two disciples that he was not familiar with, all he had to do was say, the Lord had need of them, and immediately the conversation would cease. Because what he had made available to the Lord Jesus Christ was at the Lord's discretion for the need of that thing. In other words, if Jesus say, I have need of this certain thing at this certain time, if he's given him permission and all of that's already been understood, that whenever I need it, I can come and get it, then that's a given. So it may not be when I think you're coming, but whenever it is you have need of it, all you got to do is let me know that this is what you need now. Listen at this, because again, it says, and if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord had need of them. Now, you know what he's really saying here in the translation of this verse? He's saying, if the Lord, even of the animal, comes and questions, why are these men releasing his animals? The essence of what he was saying was, tell the Lord of the animals that the Lord of the Lord have need of them, Lord, when y'all wake up this morning. And see, it's no question when your Lord tells you, I have need of the things that I provided for you, because you know the same one that gave it to you is the same one who can take it from you, but the same one who gave it to you is the one who wants you to willingly release it back to him. Oh, there are things that God wants to do in our lives, for our lives, with our lives, with the things he's already blessed in our lives. But some of us are too stingy. Some of us are too selfish. Some of us are too caught up on ourselves to say, Lord, whatever you need. Because listen, I can't give you what you haven't given to me. I can't share with you what you've not shared with me. So if the Lord of the Lord, listen, you know there are landlords, right? But you got to understand it like Jesus said. Jesus is the Lord over the landlord. So they provided a place for him to stay. He's the Lord over the animals who own the animal. He is Lord over all. And because he's, notice what he said, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. He's using his divine and sovereign power to call upon things as he desires them. Now notice in this case, he didn't say, and Jesus hath need of them. Notice he didn't say the master hath need of them. He said the Lord hath need of them. He's pulling rank now. And can I tell you, God can pull rank when he gets ready. Y'all don't hear me today. I said he can pull rank when he gets ready. Listen to what verse 4 says. All this was done. Listen, he's following a divine plan now. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, focus in now, thy king, not any king, but your king, cometh unto thee. Now, this was different even in the processional realities of kingdom building. Kings didn't go to subjects. Subjects came to kings. But he's telling them, listen, you've got a different kind of king here. And because the realities of this king is tied with another world, he is coming to this world. And you need to understand that Jesus had made clear, this world is not my home. So what was he doing? He was a conquering king from another world coming to overtake this world and those things that belong to his father. Now you've got to see this the way Jesus Christ comes in divine authority, yet in humble submission to the will of God and totally out of sync with the way kings of the earth worked. Listen to what the Bible says. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Now, he wasn't coming to the kings of the earth. He wasn't coming at this point in time to declare the truth or to declare his sovereignship as king of kings and all of this to them. Now, he was coming to gather his people together. He was coming to make a way and an access back to God. So he was coming to his people with a purpose. And the purpose was to have them to know that God the Father had provided a way back to him, and it was going to be solely through Jesus Christ. Look at what the Bible says. Thy king cometh unto thee, how? Meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Now, the Bible says this is how, because it was prophesied. It was prophesied so that we might understand in Isaiah 62 and 11, Zechariah 9 and 9, that this is what the Bible has declared, the King of Kings, the King of Zion, who would come in and present himself. Why was he coming meek? Because what you have to understand is that he was not coming to make war at this time. He was coming to gather his people to make them aware that he was about to bring deliverance to them. Now, he didn't come riding in majesty. He didn't come in at this point in time to fight against the kings of this world. He was coming in to get his folk focused. He was coming in to provide for them information and inspiration about the things that are yet to come. He was coming in to make ready for them so that they would understand that God has given to them a higher call, and that is to come back to him, and not simply just to possess the land, not simply to conquer the kings of this world, but to come back into a right relationship and fellowship with God. So he's coming back, but he's coming back to do business with his people first, and he's going to take care of the rest of the things at a later time. So notice what the Bible says, verse 6, and his disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. Now, there was still some pomp and circumstance, but it still wasn't the same as the kings of this world. There was the reverence there, there was the respect there, but when you look at the animal that was used in this situation, or the animals, both of them were animals or beasts of burden. Horses were beasts of war. And he was not coming for war in the sense of the natural realm that they desired. He came riding on a beast of burden because that was a burden on his heart to bring the people back to God. Amen. He was coming to reach in and to get them connected and focused on the will of God for their lives and to see him as the Savior of the world. Look at what the Bible says, verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. Verse 9, and the multitudes that went before him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh, listen now, in the name of the Lord. See, that's how Jesus was coming. He was coming in the name of the Lord. Now, that's why when he told them that were there waiting to have this donkey and the colt released, that the Lord had need of him, he was coming in this triumphal entry as the Lord, and he was coming in with the purpose of heading toward Calvary and setting all things straight and right for man. So when the Bible says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, then they knew that God was about to straighten out some things and straighten out some matters, and according to Scripture, it was going to begin with them. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that's the same reality today. God is more concerned with us understanding who he is and what his purpose is for our lives. And listen, when the Bible says when he will return, he's going to begin here straightening out things at the church. Because, see, it doesn't matter about getting the world straight if the church is all messed up. So he's got to start here first and from here extend it to the world. So this is what Jesus is doing. This is what they understand scripturally. So they're trying to put all of these things in place. But there are still some misconceptions about why he's coming here. There are still some ideologies floating around about what he's going to do when he get there. And that's why the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? Because you can interpret it your own way, but God has got a man or a woman who's going to declare what he has said the way he has said it, so that there is no need for you to misinterpret what he has clearly stated in Scripture. But when we attach our own agenda to it, and we want to fix it so that it matches what we want from him, then we twist and pervert the plan of God. Such was the case with these folk. That's why they shouted when he came in, and they cried a different cry on his way out of here, because in less than a week, they found out he wasn't the king that they wanted. And can I tell you, brothers and sisters, folk are some funny creatures. Folk will shout you up on the one side and shout you down on the other side. It